Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
So if you would you stand with me if you're able to as we honor the word? And we're going to read Philippians 4, verse 6. Continuing to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, come speak to us today. Lord, would you help me to say this in a way so that every person could hear what it is you've dropped inside me all week. God, give me an anointing to speak. And would you give us ears to hear what you're saying, even if my words don't come out just right. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's get right into this. We live in a world that is chasing peace of mind. When we don't get our way, we try to figure out how to deal with that feeling on the inside of us. We're looking for a life with no conflicts, no disagreements. That's the kind of life that we're pursuing. Less responsibilities, less demands, less pressures. Because when all those things are surrounding us, our insides are all stirred up. And the inability to create such a life causes people to chase things to try to compensate for that, try to navigate that on the inside of us, help us deal with uncertainty, the future, discontentment, and other things. Maybe there's people that choose to use substances to try to deal with that on the inside, or maybe they choose to use shopping to deal with that, to try to create some sort of peaceful scenario on the inside of them. Maybe they choose goat yoga. The more goats, the more peace, I guess is the way that works. If it didn't quite work, just add more goats. Or maybe the goats weren't little enough. You need some smaller, younger goats. Maybe that's the key. But in some way, you and I, we are presented with scenarios by which are out of our control, and we don't like that. Our insides don't like that. Something on the inside of us doesn't like that. It's not just that we can't think our way out of it. There's literally something in us that feels not right when life hands us things we didn't get to choose or we don't know how to figure them out. Paul's writing about that. Paul's writing to the Philippians. Now, let's just take a look real quick. He's writing to them, but he's not speaking English to them. Paul didn't speak English. This book is not written in English. And as we read it in English and just look right at it in English, that's a powerful verse we just read. Speaks to the very things in our life. However, if we take a look at the language Paul wrote in, there is much more and a powerful word for you and I. So I'm going to help you today to be a little bit of a Bible scholar, to see these two verses in less English and more in Greek, because that's what Paul wrote in. We can take this verse just like it is and go today and say, wow, that was a good word, but I want you to hear much more than that. Because the way Paul wrote, using some Greek words, speaks much more than what the English could say to us. It's a little bit more specific and precise and speaks to us. So let's get started. I want to point out some key words from these two verses, and I want to point them out and help you hear them and what Paul was trying to convey, and what the scholars who translated this into English, they chose some words that didn't quite say what Paul was saying. They got close. So let's hear what Paul was saying. These are some Greek words, and I don't speak Greek, so it might not come out right. But I'm going to sound really smart when I try. And you can take the notes, and you can go talk to some of your friends that don't speak Greek, and you can sound like a genius. How fun. Let's get started. The first one is the word anxious. Anxious. And the Greek word that Paul uses there is the word, all right, let's try this, merimnao. How was that? Did I sound really educated? Merimnao. I have no idea what that, how to say that right. But it's referring to, one meaning could mean troubled thoughts or concerns. Thoughts filled with concerns. Thoughts filled with troublesomeness. Things didn't go right. Now my thinking is shaped by it. That my thoughts have been affected by troublesome scenarios, situations. My thoughts have been affected by that. This word is the exact same word that Jesus uses when he's speaking in some other areas in the Bible. So let's take a look at what he's saying. The first time Jesus uses this is when he is delivering the Sermon on the Mount. And he's teaching people what could be considered the bylaws of the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, Jesus uses this exact word when he's speaking to his followers about worrying about the concerns of life. He's saying to them, don't worry. It's the same word as this anxious word. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. And he points out things in creation. He points out birds. And he says about these birds, you don't see them planting and watering their crops and going out and checking on the crops. You don't see them do that. They're not worried about what they're going to eat. He says about the flowers. He says about the flowers are not getting up in the morning and getting in front of the mirror and making sure everything's all looking right. They don't have to do that. They're not concerned with that. And he's saying to them, you don't have to be concerned in the same way. Not about what you look like, but what he's saying is your thoughts don't have to be troubled. Don't have to be anxious or worried. He also uses this same word in Luke 10 when he's talking to Martha, and you might be familiar with the story. Jesus is going to be the VIP guest at Mary and Martha's house, and they're so excited he's coming. Martha's scurrying about. She's got to get everything just right, and she's wanting the decorative towels to be straight, and she's actually unwrapping the decorative soap because Jesus is coming over. The soap that you don't let anybody use. That was for you, Mom, because my mom had decorative towels. We weren't allowed to use them, but we did. And we had decorative soap. And when you're standing there as a 10-year-old and your hands are really dirty and there's no soap, guess what you're going to use? That was for you, Mom. You're going to use the decorative soap. But Martha's getting the decorative. She's actually taking the plastic off. It's Jesus. He's coming over, and she just can't get it quite straight enough. She's rewashing the dishes. I've got to have the plates warm. I got to warm the plates. She's very concerned about making sure everything's right. And Jesus stops her and says, Martha, you are worried about a great many things, but only one thing really matters. See, Jesus is telling her that all these things you're so concerned about, they're really not that big of a deal. The big deal is right here. The big deal is right here, and Mary's right here, and it's not going to be taken away from her. So it's that same word that there's things that I can't just quite get it there. I'm very concerned, and he uses that phrase to tell Martha It's not that big of a deal. Don't be worried about it. Don't be anxious about that. Paul uses this word here in Philippians, this anxious word, but he uses it in another place. We're looking at the word in the Greek, okay? This, what is it? Merimnao. It's an important word for us to hear about today. Paul also uses it to speak to the Corinthians. Now, here's what he's talking about. When he's speaking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 7, he's drawing a line for them between men and women that are married, men and women that are not married. He's not saying one's better than the other. That's not what we are supposed to hear from that. What we are supposed to hear is that men and women that are not married are able to serve God with their entire being because their thought processes have no concern for home, spouse, children, what's for dinner? I didn't take anything out of the freezer. Oh, no. Oh, no, she wants cheese pizza again. Please, no more chicken nuggets. I can't handle any more chicken nuggets. Please, please, no. See, Paul is writing to them that people married, men and women that are married, have a partition in their mind at all times about making sure family is taken care of, home's taken care of. He's not saying one's better than the other, but he is saying that men and women that are married, there's this concern. It's kind of always in your mind. And so when Paul is saying this to the Philippians, when we put these together, he is saying that we don't have to live in a way where a portion of our mind is always concerned about things that are not that big of a deal. In particular, uncertainties. Where are you going to get your clothes? What are you going to eat? So we're going to pause with anxious thoughts. Thoughts dominated. You can write it in your notes. Our thoughts are dominated with concerns about the uncertainties of life. You might want to write that in there. I hope you got notes. That's the first thing I want to point out in the Greek is that he's talking about living in such a way that there is an active partition in your mind being dominated by, I don't have this figured out. How am I going to do this? What's it going to turn out like? What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. And he's talking to the Philippians about living their life in such a way. Let's look at the next part. It's a combination of hearts and minds. So let's look at this. The word hearts, he's using a Greek word, not an English word. The Greek word that he's using there is cardia, and I'm probably not saying that the right way, but he's referring to the center of one's being, or that inmost part of us that from which who we are is centered. Not what somebody has told us, not what somebody has analyzed and revealed to us, not what a book says, but you in yourself have something inside you that is intangible. You can't actually touch it. But you know it's there, and it's this heart, cardia in Greek, about where you get this sense of who you are, what you're like, what makes you, what your makeup is. And he's coupling it with this Greek word for minds, and he separates them, but he's grouping them together when he's talking, hearts and minds. And let's take a look. Minds, noema, I guess, is how you say that, meaning thoughts and perceptions. When he says minds, he's talking about somewhere in us is a house of where our perceptions come from. There's some fascinating way that God created us to have perceptions and to see a certain way. And he's talking about that, not necessarily our brains, but somewhere there's this thing called mind That in the same way that the heart gives us a sense of who we are, the mind gives us a sense of our thoughts and perceptions. So you put these together, anxious hearts and minds. That is what Paul is writing about. And so what? You put these together, and he's talking to Philippian believers, people who believe in Jesus. In their heart, they believe in Jesus. With their mouth, they have confessed him. He's saying there are people, believers, the Philippian believers, whose very thoughts are being dominated, and the insides of them are being dominated by overwhelming thoughts that I can't get this figured out. Uncertainties of life, anxious, worried. I don't have an answer. I can't get this to go my way. And he's talking to them because he's got something powerful for them. We're going to look at the rest of these words, but he's saying to them, you don't have to live. You don't have to live with your thoughts always turned towards things that aren't you can't figure out and can't control. You don't have to live with your life dominated that way. You might want to write it in your notes that our hearts and minds, they're invisible components that define who you are and how you think. And Paul is writing to them that there's a better way to live than to worrying day in and day out about things that you can't figure out, that you can't control, and that you can't make go your way. And so he's going to give them the keys to bringing it about. And this is such a powerful text when we look at it in the Greek, because it says so much more to the way we actually live. Let's take a look. Prayer and thanksgiving. Let's look at these Greek words. Prayer and thanksgiving. He's putting them together as two factors that have a direct effect on their hearts and minds. Let's take a look at it. Prayer. I don't know how to say this the right way, but I'm going to try. Here we go. Prosuche. Meaning earnestly addressing God. Earnestly addressing God. This is a prayer. If you've been a part of Kings any length of time, you know we emphasize prayer here. And that's what he's referring to, that we are going before the Lord. Going before the Lord, earnestly addressing God with the things that are heavy on our hearts and minds has a direct effect on how we are on the inside, who we are in our thinking. There's a direct line to it, coupled with thanksgiving. Let's take a look at thanksgiving. Eucharistia, meaning actively grateful. Prayer, actively grateful. Actively grateful, meaning an ongoing thanks, praise, acknowledgement. Actively, not something you did just on Thanksgiving Day. You said, thank you, God, and then you went the rest of the year and forgot. Or something you did 10 years ago. Yeah, I think 10 years ago, I thank God for something. No, this is an ongoing, something that's happening all the time. It would be something like this. I thank you, God, that you are good, even though the things around me are not going my way. I thank you, Lord, for your promises. I thank you. You're going through your day. You're driving. You're getting up. You're getting a shower. You're getting your shoes on. I thank you, Lord, that your promises are yes and amen. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to have it all figured out. You do. You know the end of a matter before it begins. I thank you for your promises that you're my provider, that you're my healer, that you're the restorer of broken walls. I thank you, God, that I can turn to you. You're my strong tower. I can run to you and be safe. I thank you, Lord, you hear me when I pray. Those types of thanksgiving ongoingly, something happens on the inside of you. Something happens on the inside of us. When you engage with God that way, there's a direct effect on your heart and in your mind. instead of it being partitioned with anxiety and always being flooded with, how am I going to do this? What's it going to turn out to be? There's a different effect and a better way to live for us. With prayer and thanksgiving, the power of thank you, we can have what he says, peace. And let's get to that word. When we look at the word peace, what is he saying there? Peace. All right, let's take a look at this Greek word. Are you still with me this morning? Okay, right on. Peace. I don't know how to say that. Irene, maybe. Absence of havoc. It's what he's talking about there. No havoc. Quietness. You hear how quiet that got? Absence of havoc and quietness. Anybody got a lot of kids in your house? You know exactly what havoc is. I got 5. You might have more. You might be close. There are times that it's havoc. Now they're all preteen and teenagers. So my dinner table is like a whole nother level of volume, stories. Hey, Dad, how do you do? There's conference. Everybody's talking and no one's listening. So what do? You talk louder. I have to be the commanding general at the dinner table so that everybody gets heard. Hey, it's his turn. Some of them still can't be quiet for 5 minutes. Havoc. The absence of havoc, or referring to quietness. Maybe you want to think about water that isn't moving and it's still. It's very peaceful. That's the kind of peace he's talking about right there. Not that the circumstances have changed. The circumstances have not changed. The uncertainties have not become certain. There's still things that are out of my control. However, the inside of me, my heart and my mind can be quieted no matter what happens around me. Jesus uses this line of thinking, and Jesus uses this phrase of peace, this word of peace in John 14. Why don't you turn there with me? John 14. Let's read this together. Looking at this word peace. 14. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Jesus is talking about the same thing here. And here's this hearts be troubled phrase. It's God's desire to give you something for the inside of us that could be overwhelmed by life's uncertainties. God's desire. Jesus wants to give peace instead of troubled hearts. Troubled minds, sleeplessness because you don't have it all figured out. Using something to medicate the inside of you that doesn't have peace. He's writing to Christians. Paul is writing to people who have professed Jesus, but their insides are anxious and they're overwhelmed with things that are out of their control, uncertain, unknown, unplanned. You're probably going to have some uncertainties and unplanned things this Thursday when you go to make your traditional menu items and they didn't turn out like you thought. I was reminded this morning of a 40-pound turkey somebody gave me. That's a lot of turkey. And I'm not a turkey fan. It's kind of on my it's on the bottom of my meat list. So they give me this very large turkey with miracles, with dropping the rack to the very bottom of the oven. We got it in the oven. And then we're baking it. We're cooking the turkey. It's got to cook a long time. It's 40 pounds. So we're cooking it a long time. And then something happened. The house started getting cloudy. Thought my glasses were dirty. No? Why is it smoky in here? Yeah, the turkey's on fire. It wasn't just oil smoking. There's flames. It's a 40-pound flame. Yeah, you might have some things that didn't quite go the way you wanted it to. Maybe your meringue doesn't turn out right on your pie. Or maybe it's more serious things besides a turkey and meringue. You can have peace on the inside, even if your turkey sets on fire. Or other things that might be more important than that. Paul's writing that we can have peace that is beyond comprehension, meaning it doesn't make sense. You should be falling apart and crumbling because life is all around you, but you're not. See, you can have such a confident assurance and steadfastness on the inside that though the world around you is like my turkey getting set on fire, the inside of you can be like that quiet water. You can have that. That's what Paul's writing about. And he's saying it puts a guard about the inside of us, our hearts and minds, who we are and how we think. What is that guard about? Well, let's try this again one last time. Pro ureo. It's referring to not just a guard, but a military guard. That's the Greek word that he's using. He's talking about a military guard, about a person or a place, a building or something, so that nothing can come in or no one can get out. It's much more than just a barrier. It's a different way to look at it. The strength of a military guard. We can live our lives, what he's saying to the Philippines. Anybody catch that? At least I didn't accidentally swear. Not that that's a common thing, but it is like when you, okay, so listen, pause. Sorry, pause. Go over here on the side. When I'm getting ready to preach, there, and I think every preacher might face it, there's this like, Lord, don't let me accidentally say something wrong. Pastor Tim, Pastor Vicky, Pastor Austin. And so when you approach this incredible honor and opportunity, you just don't want to accidentally say the wrong thing. I praise Jesus. In 27 years of being kings, I don't think I've ever had a problem. If I did, nobody said anything to me. They just smiled and went on. Military guard protecting us. God is speaking to us. God is speaking to you and I today in the same way that Paul spoke to the Philippians. Let's hear what God is saying. First of all, we are not capable of arranging life without uncertainties. Paul didn't give them two incredible tools to remove all the uncertainties, and he didn't give them two incredible weapons to make everything go the way they wanted it to go. Paul clearly knows, and I want you to hear today as well, and those of you that are online, you're not going to be able to arrange life in whatever way you, in your greatest intelligence, in your greatest strategy of mind, in your greatest wealth, You're not going to be able to make everything go like you want. You are going to be faced with uncertainties. In other words, you're going to have to navigate life with things not figured out. You're going to have to navigate life with twists and turns and unknowns and uncertainties. Paul clearly knows this. That's why he's writing to them about this, because he wants them to live life in such a way that those twists and turns don't overcome them, and that who they are and how they think is not plagued by thoughts that I just can't get off of this. I just keep spinning on those thoughts. Life's not going to go exactly like you want. We can have peace. The second thing God is speaking to us, we can have peace in our most internal being. In the deepest place of who you are, you can have peace. And I already talked about that just a few minutes ago, that no matter what life is going on around us, our innermost person, our innermost thought life can be at peace. When Jesus was telling them, "Do not be troubled, my peace I give to you," he was referencing to them that there's a bigger plan taking place, and they're not going to understand everything that's about to happen. But they don't have to have their hearts troubled. He's got it figured out. And I want you to hear that today, too. We must be a person of prayer. It's great and wonderful to hear this in the Word, whether it's in English or Greek, but if you don't engage in being a person of prayer, then this verse doesn't apply to you. You have to be a person of prayer. Person that knows in an ongoing way how to engage with the Creator of all things. See, God gave us promises all throughout His Word. In the Old Testament and New Testament, there's promises for the person of prayer, such as this. The book of Psalms, His ears are attentive to the cry of the righteous. The book of James, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. 1 John, this is our confidence in approaching God, that He hears us. Jesus Himself, God in flesh, God got up early to go pray. And like I said earlier, if you've been a part of our fellowship here, Kings, for any length of time, you know we emphasize prayer. It's because we're not emphasizing a religious duty to give a check mark. We know what releases God's power in our life. It's not wishful thinking, and it's not hoping. It's a life of prayer. Trying to encourage you today. Maybe encourage you to ask yourself, where is my prayer life? What does it look like? Is it emergency-based? It's a great question. I hope not. Jesus said we can cast all our cares on Him, for He cares for us. The fourth thing God is speaking to us today is we must be an actively thankful person. Minister Toby, if you could come help me play something actively thankful. Actively thankful should be happening in our life, day in, day out. Not based on a holiday. Now on Thanksgiving, you might have a tradition like we do, where we're sitting down and we're gorfing all the food, and in between your gorfing bites of traditional things that we like to have, Dad, the commanding general at the table, points his finger and says, "We're going around the table. Tell us something you're thankful for." "All right, we're going again." "All right, we're going around again." "Oh, it's Thanksgiving. We're going four times." Maybe you do something like that. I'm encouraging you to do something like that all the time, because something happens on the inside of you. There is a direct connection with who you are and how you think as you release thank you to the living God for His promises, for what He's done. When you recount what He's done for you, something happens to you on the inside that begins to supplant worrisome thoughts. When you start verbalizing and speaking out loud His promises, there starts to be a replacing of worry and anxiety inside you. Yeah, it's a real thing because the peace of God starts transforming you on the inside. We don't have to live a life full of anxiety. We can have the peace of God, prayer, and the power of thank you. Thank you is an acknowledgement, isn't it? Thank you is an acknowledgement that somebody did something for you. When we turn that to God and start rehearsing, reminding, retelling, declaring, there's a supplanting and a peace that comes upon us. Now that's a great word for Thanksgiving week. Did you receive something from God today? Come on, put your hands together for the Lord this morning. We got a couple more things to do together here this morning, but I want to pray for you right now as this word is being dropped right down under your insides. I hope I'm able somehow with my words to drop something into your invisible heart and mind today of the power of thank you. Right where you're at, would you lift your hands? Father, I thank you that your word is power. Your word is more powerful than any sword piercing between the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. I thank you, Lord, that as we read today and as we look at even the Greek words, Lord, something inside us, there's chords in our heart that are being struck today. And Lord, there's a great many people here this morning that the concerns of life, there are circumstances that they just don't quite have figured out. They don't know how it's going to turn out. They don't know the best decision to make. Maybe they have to make a decision. Lord, with their hands lifted, with our hands lifted, Father, right now we present that situation to you, and I thank you that you release wisdom to those who ask. I thank you, God, that you release peace through our thanksgiving. I thank you, Lord, that we can count on you. Your word declares that if we trust in you with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge you, you will direct our path. Even if we don't see two steps in front of us, we can trust in your word. Your promises are yes and amen. I thank you, Lord, and I say over this congregation today, and especially those who might have an ongoing partition in their thinking and mind to the unknown, uncertain things, that you're not a man that you would lie, or the son of man that you would change your mind. What you speak, you do. What you promise, you fulfill. And what you bless, no one can change. And I thank you, Lord, that we can be filled with confidence and assurance, and the inside of us today can be at peace. Even if our world is crumbling, there is a bigger plan that's happening. You said to the disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. You're releasing peace to them. And so I say over this congregation today, there's a bigger picture. You're at work. You're doing more than they can see you doing. You do have it all figured out. You're greater than every circumstance. There's nothing impossible for you. You're the great God. And I release peace today on troubled hearts and minds. Peace that does not make sense. Not a peace that ignores all of the uncertainties and responsibilities, but a peace in the midst of them. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you put your hands together for Jesus today? There is, as you well know, a life of uncertainties, but there is one uncertainty that you can make certain today. And that's where you're going to spend eternity. You can know and be confident today that if your life would end, you could stand before God and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You can have confident assurance that your sins are forgiven. It doesn't have to be an uncertainty that you hope you're good enough when you stand before God. Guess what? You're not, and you won't be. or that you hope you're smart enough, or that you hope that when you die and stand before God, somehow that you had enough wealth, or you had enough accolades, or you had enough intelligence. The Bible makes it clear we don't. The Bible does make clear that you can be certain, regardless of your inabilities to measure up, you can be certain that your sins are forgiven, that heaven is your home, and that you can live a blessed life even here now before that day comes. And it's by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can remove the uncertainty of eternity and be certain, confidently assured today, that you and God have everything worked out, that you're right with God. Have you received what Jesus did for you? If you haven't received what Jesus did for you, then you can't have confident assurance that you'll stand before him. The Bible makes it clear there is one way to receive salvation, one name under heaven by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Have you received what he did for you? Have you made him the Lord of your life? You can do that today. Those of you that are watching online, don't turn off your device without being certain of where you will spend eternity. I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning. I know we have a special invitation after this, but right now I'm going to invite you to receive what Jesus did for you and make for certain the decision and know in confident assurance where you will spend eternity. Would you receive what Jesus did today? The Bible makes it clear. If you believe in your heart what he did for you, that he came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for your sin, mine. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life. If you believe that in your heart, but more than believe it, if you confess Jesus as your Lord, living your life to back up what you confess, you will be saved. Have you done that? Make today your day. Maybe you did it a long time ago and you're not for certain if you're right with God today. Let's pray together. Let's make sure that when this morning ends, you know you're right with God. Let's do that this morning. Would you bow your head with me? Maybe close your eyes, and you don't have to do that if you don't want to. It just kind of gives you a private moment and not be distracted. And let's speak with the Lord. Let's address God today. Let's pray a prayer together. That's a starting point for a walk with Jesus every day. I'm going to invite you to pray with me this morning. Say it right out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive today what Jesus did for me. He died for my sin. He rose from the dead so I could be forgiven and have eternal life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new. I choose today to follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you for loving me, for hearing my prayer. Hey, why don't you lift your hands in the air? I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that right now there are people that move from uncertain to certain. I thank you, Lord, there was a confession of faith. I thank you, Lord, there was hearts that believed, mouths that confessed, and that starting today, there's going to be an ongoing newness about them. I thank you, Lord, that today your word declares the old is gone, the new has come, and that you're literally coming to flood them with new thoughts, new motives, new value systems, new ways of thinking and seeing, because you've entered into their life. They've invited you in, and you're coming. You're coming to commune with them, and you come to bring newness to their life. I pray you fill them with your spirit. Fill them with your power today. Empower them to live for you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.